You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey everybody, this is your old friend John DeLuna. You're listening to Soundwave 44, the big 44, the big 44. We are officially middle-aged, and soon we're going to be right in the middle of our crisis, our mid-age crisis, buying Corvettes and toupees and trying to suck in our stomach when pretty girls walk by, all that stuff. So look forward to that. With me this week, the best of the best. Peter,
is that a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
No, but it is a.
I believe it was.
Is a pretty sweet movie, though.
It was. What was the Capoeira movie that I used to watch like at 2 p.m. on HBO? You remember that? It was a movie about like misfit kids in Miami, and they find they get reformed through Capoeira.
That's pretty awesome.
Somebody out there knows that.
That sounds like an amazing movie.
It's a bunch of latchkey kids, and like their after-school program happens to be capoeira classes. Anyway, okay, where was I? Peter, AKK, Dweebum, Rob Springer, Brian Kilby, and Amy.
Yep.
How's everybody doing?
Do you have what to ask? Up? Do you really want to know?
That good, eh?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
That good.
Well, you know what? The timing's perfect, because New Soundwave will lift your spirits.
It's lifting mine already.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, nothing lifts our spirits like hot on the heels of StarCraft II and its 12-year hiatus. Duke Nukem. Looks like it's going to actually happen next year. Hello, finally.
Did we not cover this last week?
Does anybody still care?
Yeah, I do. Sort of.
Yeah?
In theory.
So what's going to happen when we finally get this game and we install the game and we push start and a Rickroll starts?
First of all, who installs games nowadays?
I do.
PC people.
I try. No, on my 360, it's faster.
Don't you have to install some games on PS3, I've heard?
You don't have to, I don't think, but you have the option to.
Some of them are required. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, by the time you update the software, like, you know, the 2-hour process.
Your night is over.
Yeah, you may as well have downloaded it. And yes, it's the next day.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Duke Nukem, hot on the heels of StarCraft II, like I said, finally coming out. Basically, it's coming out because everybody who worked on it originally is gonzo.
Dead.
That's right. They all died of natural causes.
Yeah. Sad.
And in 2011, it's going to come out for everything, the 360, the PS3, PC.
It is coming out for the PC. That's been confirmed. I mean, it has to, I only saw, like, the 360 and PS3 reference. So.
That's what the Gearbox is saying. It'll
good.
Yeah. They've already accepted it's not an MMO. Why bother?
I mean, I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'll certainly, you know, have interest in it. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll support it somehow. You support its existence. We all support its release. Bravo, finally. moving on. Hey, more about the Kinect Xbox 360. The bundle has been announced. That's not really a shocker, but hey, it's announced. Launching on November 4th. You get a 360, obviously, with 250 gig. Wi-Fi, the Kinect sensor, Kinect Adventures, and it's about $400. So that's not bad considering the Kinect is $150 by itself. Is anybody here on the show seriously going to consider getting a Kinect, if not buy it?
No. I would like to have one. I'll admit I would like to have one.
Really?
Yeah. No. I mean, it looks so fun-ish. Hmm. It looks like, that's what the Wii was supposed to do, but
no. This is what Microsoft thought of when they thought they should copy what the Wii is doing.
No, it does way more than the Wii. It's really what the Wii should have been. But Nintendo wanted to make a $200 console, you know, four years ago instead of a, God, I guess, a $2,000 console. It would have been ridiculously expensive, too. The R&D in this has to be pretty immense. Microsoft, I don't see how Microsoft makes money with all the R&D that they do, and then it goes to vaporware. But
it takes them forever to make anything.
Yeah, that's why they're stagnant.
Their department that does all the writing off is worth every penny.
No kidding.
But no, I mean, the Kinect looks pretty brilliant. It's exactly what the Wii should have been, but you know, it is not a $150 piece of hardware, you know, all inclusive. You still have to have the console. So I don't know that it'll sell, but it's intriguing as all heck.
It was just not the niche that Nintendo was trying to go for when they launched the Wii.
No, I think they're smart. The Kinect seems like something that, like, if one of your friends has one, then everybody will come visit them and hang out and play it for a while, and then everybody will go home. And then there's, like, no desire to get one.
It's exactly like the Wii, then.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's a cool idea. It's a great idea and stuff like that, and motion control. It's definitely, instead of PlayStation doing basically what the Wii did with controllers, the Microsoft took a different approach, and that's definitely commendable, but I don't find it intriguing at all.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm old. I don't know.
Just stay there.
I think what's going to hurt this, as well as the PlayStation 3 motion gaming system, is the fact that it's after the fact. I mean, the Xbox 360 came out in 2005, and 5 years later, they're coming out with this. It's, you know, a lot of times when it's not out of the package when you buy it brand new right off the bat, it doesn't always take off, and I think that's going to hurt this. Not to mention how this is a car payment to play this game system.
I don't see that being a big deal.
To a hardcore gamer, probably not.
Well, I mean, I don't know the hardcore
or
gamer.
Or, you know what I mean? Somebody who's like an early adopter.
I mean,
into this kind of stuff.
I mean, this console life cycle, this generation, there's no talks right now of a PS4 or a Xbox 720 or whatever the heck it's going to be called. None. I mean, so it's not about, you know, the iteration of the hardware. It's about the iteration. Hey,
yeah,
how's it going?
I can't hear you.
Hey, XV.
Sorry.
Hey, XV.
No, that's so wrong.
It's about what they can milk out of the current generation, and it's brilliant.
That's true. That's an interesting observation too. Maybe that's a discussion for another show.
And it's not like it's after the fact. It's not like the Kinect is after the fact. Oh well, the Wii did the motion control. You know, no, might as well stop. No, I mean, since the Wii let the genie out of the bottle, you know, motion controls, for good or for bad, are here to stay. They may not be the primary input of games, but it'll always be an option, and this is the next evolution of that. And just by looks, it's superior in just about every way to the Wii, except for price.
Mm. And no Power Glove references.
I love the Power Glove.
Me too.
It's so rad.
I saw that movie too.
Lucas is a douchebag hero of mine.
Why haven't they remade that movie in some form?
Because, Jimmy Woods.
They might.
Somebody has sense.
They have to.
They'll remake it eventually. I'm giving them another 2 years. They've remade everything else. Why not?
That's true. Although after Scott Pilgrim's performance, good luck getting funded for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. One final thing on the Kinect.
It was a game movie before, like all of these other ones. They might make an exception.
That's a good argument, I guess.
I don't know if anyone wants to see Justin Bieber playing a kid, though.
But Justin Bieber is going to play himself, so he may as well play somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I think what else is Fred Savage doing? He could reprise his role and come back.
Oh yeah.
He's
40-year-old.
He's busy producing
awesome.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Producing? Imagine how can he be busy Savage producing anything?
Imagine Fred Savage paying the dad, chasing down the bounty hunter and like beating his truck up with a shovel and stuff.
You know, I think I'm just going to have to go out and rent that movie again. I need to reminisce.
Yeah, it's free.
Just rent it. I'm sure it's like $4 at Walmart.
Four? You're overestimating.
I don't know if I want to buy it. Oh, that's
the dollar bin.
It's been in the clearance bin for the past 10 years.
I'll check out.
Nobody will buy this.
It's like, there's these VHS cassettes? Really?
I was actually.
Make those anymore?
Yeah, they do. I actually have a VCR to my right. I was actually on Amazon's waiting list for that to come out on DVD. So it's not actually been out for 10 years. It's not been out that long.
When did it come out? Like the last few years?
2006 or something like that. I can find out. It's not a big deal.
Way to go! Yeah. Way to go, Wizard. Yeah. One last note on the Kinect. Game Informer did a quick and dirty survey with about 1,000 readers, and more people are looking.
2006. Sorry, go ahead.
2006.
Yeah,
fantastic. See, that's the kind of research you get when you listen to Soundwave. Anyway, the survey showed, surprise, surprise, shock and awe, that more people are looking forward to the 3DS than either the Kinect or Move. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But it's good to know that, you know, hey, once again, the 3DS is the DS specifically is the kind of product line that's like a runaway train. People just have not gotten tired of it yet.
It's no iPod Touch. No iPod Touch.
Steve. No, Steve, it's not.
Right.
Okay, so were you going to say something, Peter?
Nope.
All right, then. Moving on. Call of Duty Black Ops. We're starting to hear about that. So if this is your kind of thing, we've got some stuff to tell you about. Bots are back. Combat training allows you to play either yourself or with friends. And there is a star, among other things, there's a star-studded cast of voice actors led by Ed Harris and Gary Oldman. What? What are they doing in a game like this?
They got Kiefer Sutherland to do a voice in World at War.
That's pretty cool.
Weird. That is so weird.
Did it sound like Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes. I was like, that's Kiefer Sutherland.
And but he does Bank of America commercials. So.
It was Jack Bauer just in
just World War II time.
Yeah. I'd rather be Donald Sutherland.
That'd be pretty awesome.
He is the best Sutherland.
He is. He played Jesus. He was the best Jesus ever.
How many people can put that on their resume?
Resume, yeah.
Seriously, he was the best Jesus in any movie ever. So go
was
out.
Was Jim Caviezel not a good Jesus?
Donald Sutherland, he was a better Jesus. It was just go back, go and watch Johnny Got His Gun. Just watch the first 20 minutes and
all right.
Best thing ever.
Come back to the show. We'll still be here.
Yeah.
Hey, StarCraft 2 is locking people out. So if that sound you hear is JD crying.
Because
you know,
he's been locked out?
Yeah, there's a bug, but it's going to be fixed. But yes, StarCraft 2 has been locking out some people. It's not a policy change.
Yeah.
It's a bug.
So it's not JD, like, you know, beating
the crap. No, JD, don't pull the trigger. Down from the roof.
Oh, my. Wow.
It's the bug, unfortunately, is called the Blizzard Wants More of Your Money bug. We fixed it, but you'll have to send us another $54 and $14 a month to play your StarCraft 2.
Yeah. Put your character back, give us at least a grand.
Oh.
That's for every letter of your name.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Let's see. What else is new in the gaming world? Hey, Resident Evil 6. This is either a good news or bad news. So Resident Evil 5 was a tremendous hit, especially in the Deep South, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
And,
that is not true.
I know. I'm giving them a
hard
time.
We heard the sarcasm. Yeah.
The Deep South hated it, actually. Okay, so anyway.
That's not true either.
The Deep South found it a solid hit.
Gave it a solid B plus.
Yes, they gave it two thumbs in the middle.
Brian, give us an accurate idea of how the South felt about it then.
I don't think it was actually on the radar.
It passed them by. Well, they better perk up because Resident Evil 6 is hot around the corner. So, like I said, this is either good news or bad news, because people at Capcom have said basically this game is going to happen, quote, it's going to hit the market, quote, as soon as possible. And so take that as kind of a rush job, maybe at worst, and at best, just a high priority on their list. But we're going to get Resident Evil 6 sooner than later. And actually, you know, I was thinking about Resident Evil for some reason last week, just kind of wishing for some kind of reboot, because just like the movie series, which is kind of terrible. At this point, Resident Evil 6, I mean, we're like so far removed from the original concept. Can we just like, you know, reset and do a do-over at this point? Anyway.
I think Resident Evil 6 is going to take place in China and take place in Beijing and Shanghai, and you will be shooting people who mysteriously were hit by a plague and turned yellow. So.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Man, we are working blue tonight, folks.
I can say that.
Okay.
You can say that, yeah.
Shouldn't it be off-campus evil at this point?
It should be Resident Evil, the college
years. Or yet,
the college
or
years.
Still hasn't graduated evil, yeah.
That's right. Okay, speaking of oldies but goodies, Mortal Kombat. Some more Mortal Kombat news. Not about the reboot. Speaking of reboots, this is more evidence that we're going to get an HD version of the first three games. And the rumor is, this is a pretty crazy rumor, that not only it's going to be HD, and not only HD, but it's going to be completely refilmed, digitized sprites. So with new actors. So in essence, a new game, basically. Just new games. MK1, 2, and 3.
It would be like the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD remix for the 360, where they went and redrew all of the sprites. It did not take long to produce Mortal Kombat 1. It was done in some ridiculously compressed amount of time. I don't think it would take too long to do this, since most of the programming's done. They would just be going in and just given my rudimentary understanding, they would be going in and basically just replacing sprites. They're not changing any of the physics or anything.
No, no. People would riot if they did. It kind of because
the gameplay is just so tweaked and refined.
It's
that
tight, yeah,
yeah.
It's like a fine-tuned piano.
Street Fighter III. I mean, Mortal Kombat 3 is such a total flaming piece of crap. If they did it with 1 and 2, I would actually, you know, kind of like that. But 3 is just awful.
Yeah.
And it's high res enough as it is. It doesn't look that bad even today.
I would rather them do just the trilogy version and beef that up.
I don't like it. I don't like MK Trilogy. Because they're basically mixing their games. It's not balanced at all. And I never cared much for that. But I do like playing as Goro.
I got two moves. Let's bring it.
Yeah.
Get ready. Well, yes, it's very interesting. The weird thing is, one thing on Mortal Kombat, the weird thing is they sure reference Ed Boon, by they I mean Ed Boon, he sure references Mortal Kombat 3 as being of equal nostalgic value as the first two, which I think is kind of crazy. Like, yeah, looking back, I don't think anybody is completely nostalgic for Mortal Kombat 3, but he sure thinks so.
Mortal Kombat 3 was a nice way of saying, and it's over.
Yeah. And we're out of ideas.
And we need more money.
Who's the star?
And play Tekken.
Yeah. By that point, definitely.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. One more story before we get to our topic for the night. GoldenEye. A couple things on GoldenEye. If you pre-order GoldenEye, by the way, pre-orders these days can be pretty awesome. Here's evidence of it. The GoldenEye pre-order for Walmart, I believe, will get you a shirt that says cheater and has a hat on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the odd right. job.
Yeah, it's right.
the hat. Odd job hat.
It's awesome. It's amazing. So, I normally don't pre-order games, but I may have to do that just for that shirt.
There is no possible way I could silk screen that myself. Wow.
Yeah. Fine, Kilby. Insult my intelligence.
Sorry.
I wonder how thin that T-shirt is going to be.
Cafe Press.
Yeah.
That's going to be like, don't wear this shirt out on a rainy day.
Yeah. Your nipples will be showing.
And that's before
it gets between Aja, right?
Yeah.
With Aja's hat right in the middle.
He's looking at you.
And then in the sour grapes department, the original GoldenEye developer has bashed Activision over the remake. Because, I mean, shock, they like making money. They're going to remake your game, dude. Sorry. Anyway, so he's not happy about, I suppose, being left out.
Yeah, it's a strange thing for Activision to do.
It is. It's kind of a random callback, but these days we're so remake happy.
I mean, EA already tried to do this. They didn't actually remake the game. They just reused the name.
Yeah, GoldenEye 2, wasn't it?
Or something like that. And it was just as bad as this is going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But wasn't the original developer Rare?
Yeah, it was Rare.
Yeah. So it's like money grabbing. Didn't you guys hop to Xbox?
Well, I mean,
they got bought out by Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, Rare has nothing to do with this.
I gotcha.
Yeah, does Rare even exist anymore?
Yeah, absolutely.
In name.
They just said that Cameo Elements of Power sucked and they should have scrapped the game.
Well, they brought it out for N64.
Is that smart to say that? I don't know.
It was going to come out on GameCube, then it was going to come out on Xbox, then it came out on the 360, and nobody bought it.
I got it for $4, brand new.
I have never, ever played it.
Was it worth it?
Apparently it sucks.
It's not terrible, but it's just like, of all that development time, come on, really? What did it go to?
Also, you got it for $4.
Yeah, you're like, okay, it took this long to make it, this many systems. I don't see why.
Have we ever gotten that kind of confirmation on Daikatana? It's like, yeah, you waited for this, and it sucked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like, hey, John Romero, I don't think you just made me your bitch. I think, I think you're a big... You know, you're actually the worst thing about Doom, John Romero, and you just proved it with this game.
You know, that may be an interesting homework project for me. I may try to look up the list of games. This will be hard. This will be kind of hard to find, but the list of games that have gotten apologies from developers. It can't be that long, but I bet it's probably a pretty good list where they came back at some point and said, yeah... Not
we're
so great.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Not so
we're
great.
We're sorry, and here's our official apology for this. We will make it better. Right. We will. Yeah.
The only way you can make it better is to give me my money back, but that's not happening.
Did you say Primal Rage, Rob?
And I'll tell you why. Yes, not because of the game itself, but because the various version 1.2s that they put on the arcade, where the moveset was different. Yeah. That's why I expect that. Dude, I'm really good at this game, but I went to the 7-Eleven down the street, and I couldn't play it any longer. Why is that, Atari? Why? Well, we thought it'd be... You thought wrong. You didn't even put the change sign up or something. You couldn't say new move edition. No.
Yeah, it wasn't signed at all, was it?
No, it's just like random. Will this one be the one I can actually play?
Interesting.
I don't know that I would play Primal Rage 2.
I kind of like Primal Rage.
Like Primal Rage, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it as long as I could pull off a move.
You know what else I liked, I guess, just as like a guilty pleasure, because it was fairly unplayable, was Time Killers.
Ah, yeah. So did you get one of those? I'm not thinking. Time Killers actually came out. I was thinking of Thrill Kill.
Killers was a branch off from the people that left Rare after GoldenEye.
Wow, how about
Free Radical? Yeah, Time Killers, I believe, was made by Free Radical, which was a branch off group of
the you're thinking Time Splitters.
Time Splitters, damn it.
Oh, okay.
I was like man, Time Killers was on Sega.
Yeah, did anyone actually get a copy of Thrill Kill, one of the late betas of it?
It's apparently supposed to be easy to get, or at least everywhere.
Yeah, I got it like back in '98 after the game was killed, and it's not that great. So
was it just like a bunch of like one shocking thing after another that just kind of got old, or what?
Well, you can only do so much shocking crap on the PS1 because it had that muddy look. So, you know, now those games, now most PS1 games are nigh unplayable because of the way they look.
And, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine what, like, Toshinden feels like now.
Oh, gosh.
Should probably go back and give it a whirl.
You know what's funny, though? Like, something like Toshinden or the first Twisted Metal really looks bad. But I was just playing the original Doom the other day, and pixelated enough, it was still a lot more visually enjoyable than, say, Toshinden. I guess it's got to do sprites.
Are you playing that on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
How does that work?
Exactly. It's like a Flash Flash version of Doom, where they basically took the game and made it work on Flash, and that's it. It plays almost exactly the same, just the you can't map your button, so you're stuck with their setup, and that's it.
So is it doing this, or is someone else?
It's someone else, because after they put it out, free reign or free domain or whatever for the source code.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and the guy basically just made a Flash version of it, and then some other guy took the Flash version and made a Facebook version of it.
Wow. Huh. I remember playing that on a Virgin American airplane.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. That is pretty sweet.
Although there was no turn button, so I was just strafing all over the place.
Nice.
It worked very well.
Real nice. All right, so for our topic this week, stay with me, folks. This has a little bit of lead-in. Last week, actually, I heard a pretty good discussion on Madden 11 on a sports podcast. And there were three hosts who were not gamers, and then their guest, who was talking about Madden, was definitely a gamer. And roughly of our own generation, he was in his 30s, probably about 30, and the three hosts that were not gamers were older. In fact, probably a little too old to be considered part of our generation. They're probably in their early 40s.
They're Xers.
Yeah, they're Xers, solid Xers. Yeah, this guy, like I said, the reviewer was right around our age. So towards the end of the interview, the host asked him why are quote unquote adults still playing this game, and asking him directly, the 30-year-old, why hasn't he gone on to quote grown up things?
Like mowing the yard, boy.
So that to me brings up the question, and the reviewer, to his credit, had kind of the same response. His response, and I agree with it, was, well, video games to his generation, and certainly everyone after that, video games are not considered an adult thing or a kid thing. They are what they are. They're games. And hence why nobody has really grown out of them if they choose not to. Nobody grows out of video games. They stay with video games. So my question to the group is, you know, why have we specifically kept with video games? Is that the case for us? Do you guys not see video games as kind of a childhood thing? Do you just see it as a form of entertainment that happened to be born basically while we were growing up? I mean, how do you guys view video games?
Yeah, it's an interactive entertainment platform. I mean, it's not generational. It's not geared toward youth or older people. It's like you say, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What that guy should think about is, without video games, there would be no Farmville.
Yes.
So he would not be able to waste all of his time when he's not on the radio and not farm. I mean, video games are absolutely not a childish thing or an adult thing, right? And gone on to do grown-up things. What exactly is that?
It's sitting around and playing bridge and gossiping.
Yeah, right, he's got a job. That's grown up. His job is to play video games. That's his job. That's his income. That's what he does to support his family, right? That's a grown up thing, right?
Absolutely. It is interesting to think how video games have evolved during our, I guess, growth. As our generation, say people who are roughly 30.
Yeah, I mean, if my only...
grown up, video games have really evolved into something far beyond... I mean, they're evolving and they're growing as it happens that our specific generation is too. So it is interesting.
I mean, if my only experience with games was like Fester's Quest or something like that, sure, I would think it was a juvenile pastime, but it's not the case.
You know,
no, it's not the case.
The irony of this whole situation is, okay, you said there's a sports podcast, right? these older guys in their late 40s was asking the guy in his 30s, when's he going to grow up and stop playing with them video games? Hey, you're on a podcast.
I don't get what you're saying, Rob.
I'm saying they're criticizing him for playing video games, saying he needs to grow up. And it's like, you're criticizing him for using an older media form than what you're currently on. You know, they're the podcast. This is what the dorks talk about comics with or whatever. And they're like a sports podcast. This is a dorky thing. Hey, you're doing something dorky, you dork, on our dorky thing.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, working in radio, we have podcasts where people have no idea that they're being podcasted. Huh. I mean, it's we take terrestrial radio, and then you know certain content we migrate it to podcast format.
Yeah,
there's real value in podcasting. It's not just
absolutely.
You know, losers like me sitting around recording stuff. Like, I like Transformers. I'll talk about Transformers today. No, there's real world value in podcasting. And
welcome to Battlestar Galactica Forum.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how I keep up with morning shows from my hometown.
Yeah, like all the news I get into it comes from podcasts. Virtually every all the news.
Well, now the second part of this irony is, if they're on a sports podcast, how much of a sports podcast goes toward fantasy football?
Yeah, that's a very adult pursuit.
That's not gaming.
No, yeah. It's not gaming at all.
No, it's totally different. That's like real football, buddy.
Some people have made a distinction, like a really good comparison is that doing RPGs or MMORPGs are basically the same thing as fantasy sports without the sports part.
Like, just remember, every time someone criticizes you for being a huge dork, ask them how many of their local team's memorabilia they have around their house.
Right, and how many stats they remember.
Exactly.
From the specific team player. Oh, yeah. He made 300 yards. He ran 300 yards last year. How do you remember this? Back in 95, he did this. How do you remember this stuff?
Yeah. Well, we have fond memories of playing, some of us, I can't speak for everyone, Donkey Kong at Showbiz Pizza when we were like four.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, these guys at their age, video games came out when they were, teenagers, early 20s, and it was Pong, something. And they didn't really, every time they came back, it was like, oh, this Space Invaders thing sure is popular. Whatever, and then the Nintendo comes out, past the Atari. Atari's really an extension of the Pong stuff. Nintendo comes out, and what's Nintendo aimed at? Kids, basically, with the Mario cartoons and everything. And then people our age, it's like, well, dude, the older I get, the more mature these things get. What are you talking about?
I wonder if they have the same...
Yeah, they're really following, they're tracking along with us.
I wonder if they have the same opinion of, say, pinball.
Good point.
Good point. Nice. Do they still make... Is pinball still a big deal? That's kind of an aside.
No. Really? It's not
some
a big deal.
Some people still collect pinball.
Well, it's kind of morphed into like a classic car collector type thing.
Yes.
They're doing a sports podcast. They spend a lot... they spend time at the sports bar watching the football game on Sunday. You know, they play that little video game thing on the bar doing like Sakoden or whatever.
Yeah, or what about a...
That's okay.
Like bar trip or something like that.
Well, have you ever outgrown Clue?
No.
Exactly. You know, board games.
The answer is no.
Yeah, what's board games now? Mario Party.
Or Carnival
Smash
Party.
Or something like that. Yeah, Carnival games.
We Carnival.
Party games.
Good times.
I gave the 5-year-old black eye. Whoops.
I think we've established that these guys are officially wrong,
and they're old doo doo heads.
They should grow up.
Yes, they're officially grumpy old men. So we on you,
Walter Matthau themselves.
Yes, he speaks to. We're gonna have a séance and get his official opinion. On this,
can I jump in real quick and say something real quick?
Sure.
Oh, I was going to say, because I've not been much of a gamer myself until recently, and I'm jumping on just to play games, just to connect with other fans that are fans of the same stuff that I'm with. And, I off and on throughout my life, I've played games, but I haven't been like a hardcore gamer. I'm just more like, I'll just play it just to have fun and all that. And now it's for me, it's also to get to know what it's like to be online and to play games like that, because I realize I have two little boys, and boys are usually more attracted to competition and game things like that. And so I'm like, well, I better make myself informed. So that's why I kind of justify it a little bit, but yeah, I'm really having fun because I'm connecting with people that I get to talk with and who, you know, hear me on podcasts and whatever. And, you know, it just seems like to me that anybody that's going to say that when you grow up, you know, when are you going to give up these kid things, is somebody that's just not informed or they don't understand that going and playing a video game is just like, for some people, going and picking up a book. It's their opportunity to go and just escape from life and go do something. And to, you know, yeah, there's an entertainment value, but that's the whole point, is that it's their way of going and finding some sort of entertainment that for them is productive. And so I, you know, anybody that's going to knock somebody for, you know, playing kids games or whatever, even if they're 30 or 40 or whatever age that they are, you know, they just are terribly misinformed. And it shows. I mean, hey, here we are on a geeky podcast, which is cool.
Oh man,
is bashing cool. Somebody for not getting, you know,
is it cool? In fact,
yeah,
I'm going to let Amy have the last word. Nobody can say it better than that. How about that? Next week we promise. I guess less offensive topic, but we just kind of wanted to, you know, lay it out there that yes, video games are for everyone. So come on, y'all.
We've had two defensive topics so far.
Well, and it's good because, hey, it's almost games. Video games have about the same kind of satisfaction or emotional reaction to people as like petting a dog. Because when you pet a dog, you get instant gratification. Their dog, the tail wags. So immediately you know that you're doing something the dog likes. Well, when you sit down and you play a game and you do something and you get rewarded for it, hey, there's your instant gratification. You know, it makes you feel good. Oh, I got something. Who doesn't feel good about going, oh, because I jumped on this game and I whacked this person with a sword, I got 20 points, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah.
I want 20 points.
I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to go outside and whack some guy with a sword.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, yeah.
I'm going to do it high.
No, if you go and you know shoot the target, you get this. Or you get in the car and you drive really fast and you make a run, you know, go around this corner and you pass somebody, you get this much money. You know, you get scores. You get to score points when you do something. You know, and you know, life is not usually like that. You know, it's something that you can entertain yourself with. Going,
man,
okay,
why not?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go hit a guy.
Where's
with a dog?
Easy button, right?
And see if the dog wags its tail.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
don't
like
kick
I said,
your dog, because you won't get points for that.
No. Like I said, hey, points for Amy and that little speech. Quite the end of our show. Nobody could say it better.
She wins today's game.
She wins. To paraphrase 2007, a winner is you. How about that?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks.
So,
I've just given you a good reason to justify your gameplay.
you sure have. And everybody, she's a mom, so she knows, right?
Yes. Choosy moms choose Jeff.
Yes. Yes. She's our show's official choosy.
Is there
mom.
Any truth to that? Do you choose Jeff? Jeff?
I unfortunately do Jeff. Not Jeff. Choose Jeff. I Jeff. In our household, we have gone completely organic.
Is there organic peanut butter?
Yes.
There is organic peanut butter.
It's the one that you have to like stir hardcore because all the oil is
so easy. Yeah, no, actually the kind that I get does not separate as much as you think, and it's really not that hard to stir. Yeah.
So here's the ironic part. You can go buy the organic peanut butter at Whole Foods for like $5, or you can get government peanut butter for free, and it's the same thing.
I like the way you think, Rob.
Just mash peanuts.
You just got to open a can or one. You got a jar.
Yeah, yep. You got, what was the government food you got like a month ago or something like that? Somebody did.
Oh, the government pizza. My brother got.
Yes, government pizza.
Government.
That's right.
Pizza.
It came in a giant white thing, like fishing bait does or whatever, and it was like full of just cheese pizzas that you microwave. Oh. It was really good, though.
Like a Dharma pizza?
He just
pretty much like, Dharma beer.
Nice.
He's just Dharma like, hey, beer. I got some pizza. Oh, where the hell did you get this thing? He's just like, it was given to me. Oh, boy. It's some of your girlfriend's crazy government food, isn't it?
I found it under the bed, and I just added water.
Oh!
Nice.
It was
nice.
Pretty good government pizza.
Okay, well, on that note, that is New Soundwave for this week. Hey, if you're feeling down, if you want to turn that frown upside down, go buy a video game, or if you want a cheaper alternative, a free alternative, go to tfradio.net and select from our fine case fresh selection of podcasts. We have RFC, the mother of all podcasts. And we have New Soundwave, which you're listening to right now. Cool. Kind of freaky. Yeah. Superhero Time, which is the awesome Sentai show. Lots of spandex, lots of XV. Not a lot of XV in spandex. Thank you.
Not yet.
Not a lot
Fan
of
Boy Versus, which is arguably our best podcast, if you ask around here. It's got quite a cult following.
If you ask McFeely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey. He's somebody. Outside the Cage, our MMA boxing wrestling podcast, and RFC Throwback, made with real geeks, real cane sugar. It's just as fattening as you remember. Please, like I say, stop by tfradio.net, look around, download twice, listen once if you please. And for New Soundwave, I am John DeLuna. We will see you next week.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.